With one's body one can acquire all goals of life, and it is one's parents who give the body birth and sustenance. Therefore, no mortal man can repay his debt to his parents, even if he serves them for a full lifetime of 100 years. Purport. Having stated, both you, our parents, and we have suffered because of our separation, Krishna now states that his and Balaram's religious principles have been spoiled by their failure to satisfy their parents. This verse is spoken by Balaram and Krishna to Devaki and Vasudev after the killing of Kamsa, in which Balaram and Krishna are saying to Devaki and Vasudev that we could not serve you, our parents, properly. Balaram and Krishna are expressing to Devaki and Vasudev that we could not serve you, our parents, properly. Recently this verse was quoted to me by a devotee who is well known here in Chennai, Mahamani Krishna Prabhu.
That's wet, that'll stain as well,
who was insisting that I should preach that the children should bow down before their parents every day. So, in his hometown, I'm fulfilling his wish, or his order, practically. Of course, so many people come and say, you should speak on this, you should speak on that. Why aren't you speaking about cow protection or book distribution or this and that or the other? So, in due course of time, we tried to speak about all the various topics of Krishna consciousness. But some devotees are more focusing on some particular areas. So this is also one area of the Krishna conscious culture. There are many, many things to be done in our Krishna consciousness movement, and many points to discuss and try to institute. This is one point here which Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is making, that children, they should be respectful to and grateful to their parents. This does not in and of itself constitute Krishna consciousness, but it is part of the culture that Krishna himself follows, and he wants us to follow also. We have to understand which of Krishna's activities are meant for us that to follow, they're instructive to us, and which are possible only for him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is following and there is imitation. Our acharyas differentiate this as anusaran and anukaran. Anusaran is following and anukaran means simply to imitate. So when Krishna deals very respectfully with his parents, that should be followed. When Krishna performs rasa lila, we should not attempt to follow. Now, all this has to be understood very carefully, because Krishna is performing his lila, which is his activities for his own unique enjoyment in his unique position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now when all the gopis came in the middle of the night to the forest after hearing Krishna's flute, Krishna told them to go back home. Krishna said that a woman, she should serve her husband and her parents, look after her children. Actually, Krishna was just teasing the gopis, who are his internal pleasure potency. And their so-called husbands, that relationship with, they don't, that relationship is not real. Their eternal relationship with Krishna is real. So this is not a very easy subject to understand. It's at the highest level of spiritual understanding. But at the same time, if we don't understand it, we shouldn't foolishly try to blame Krishna as if he's a mundane person. Now, the gopis didn't go home, and they danced with Krishna in his spotless transcendental Rasa-lila. But Srila Prabhupada comments that the words he spoke to them, teasing them, these are actually, he's joking with the gopis, but for ordinary women these are very relevant and important instructions. So similarly here, Krishna is offering all respect to his apparent parents and saying that, he's saying that the human body, sarva-artha, we can attain all desirable objects, all goals of life. Krishna himself told Uddhava, labdvasu durlabham idam bahu sambhavante manusham artadam anityam apiha dhira turnam yate tanapateta namritya yavam nishayas vishaya kalu sarvata syat. He uses the same word, artha, that in the human form of life, one can get artha, one can get something meaningful. That we have attained this human form of life after many, many births. It is rare to obtain. And the human form of life, although it's temporary, very short-lasting, we can gain actual benefit in this life, which we cannot get in any other form of life. Therefore, we should resolve that before this body dies, which it shall do very soon, we should attain that artha, or the goal of life. And if we think, well, what about sense enjoyment? I should enjoy my senses. Then no, we shouldn't indulge in sense gratification. That is not our artha, that is not meaningful for us, that is anartha, that is an obstacle to our progress. That we have, that is available in all species of life. So the human form of life is most valuable because the parents have given that, that we are grateful to them. In Vedic culture, the first guru is the mother, and second is the father. They may not be on the same level as the guru who teaches the artha, the goal of life. One has to make this human life, one has to obtain the artha by taking birth again. The first birth is from the physical father and mother. But a human being is not, in the Vedic conception, a human being is not considered really fully, properly a human being unless they take second birth, in which figuratively the father is the guru and the mother is Vedamata, the knowledge of the Vedic literature. Nevertheless, as we see here from Lord Krishna's own example, that doesn't mean that the father and mother of the body are to be disrespected, rather the opposite. And of course, parents who are as dedicated and pious as Devaki and Vasudev, Kaushalya and Dasharath, Kunti and Pandu, they are to be respected in all respects. So in Vedic culture, the children, they bow down before their parents, they serve them, and the parents, they set an ideal example by following in the footsteps of the great personalities described in Shastra. Nowadays, that culture is broken down, and although it's natural for children to respect their parents, now more and more the children, they don't care for them at all, because no one respects anyone in modern culture. Modern so-called culture means kick everyone else in the head, don't care for anyone. And many times young girls, they get married on the condition that they tell the boy who they're going to marry, only on one condition, that we don't live with your parents. I don't want to like that. No. So it's called kalyanam, but with such an attitude there can be no kalyanam. One marries for the sake of kalyan, but if the object is only sense gratification, then there's no kalyan. Kalyan, you all know what it means, but for the sake of those who may be hearing this lecture later, the recorded version, who don't know, kalyana means that which is for our benefit, that which is beneficial. This whole Vedic culture is meant for our kalyan. That doesn't mean that it's meant only for making weddings. It means it's meant for the all-around benefit of everyone who participates in it. And there are many observances therein. This is the one which is being discussed here today, is how Krishna and Balaram are bowing down to and expressing their debt to their parents. So this is all part of the glorious Vedic culture, which one of the goals of our Krishna conscious movement is to re-establish that. Prabhupada, even in the early days of preaching in America, we can see he wanted to introduce these things. Once the mother of two of Prabhupada's first disciples, two brothers, Brahmananda and Gargamuni, still today famous in ISKCON, she came to visit the first storefront temple that they had. So Gargamuni Prabhu wasn't there, Brahmananda Prabhu was. So Prabhupada told Brahmananda, bow down to your mother when she came. Brahmananda never imagined doing such a thing, and nor had she imagined that he would ever do such a thing. But Brahmananda had such faith in Prabhupada and adherence to his order that he immediately did so. Then Prabhupada asked that, can you give some donation to our movement? Those days they had nothing practically. If someone gave a $5 donation, that was a big donation. So she became upset and said, I already gave two sons, what more do you want? But you see, she was meat-eating and drinking alcohol and probably smoking and everything, but Prabhupada still told, bow down. That's very normal in the West, that women, they smoke and they drink. And still in India, it's considered asat, not really proper. But in the West, it's been normal since, well, at least before I was born. So this is the wonderful Western culture that you all want to follow. I'm very grateful to Srila Prabhupada. He gave me a way of life which is much better than the horrible way of life I was born into. Now, after that, I don't know of any instance when Prabhupada again told his Western disciples to bow down before their parents. But he was respectful to the parents of his disciples who came. Although some of Prabhupada's disciples' parents, they became very inimical to Prabhupada. And they started kidnapping their children from the temple and trying to forcefully convert them back to be normal American meat-eating, drinking, smoking citizens. So The culture is there that we should respect our parents. But how do we apply that if, for instance, they're against our Krishna consciousness? As is often the case. Parents are against their children being Krishna conscious. Children are against their parents being Krishna conscious. The husband is against the wife being Krishna conscious, or the wife is against the husband. We've got very nice fingernails. It's a common pastime during Bhagavatam class. One should play with the fingernails. I don't know if it's in any shastra that one should fiddle with one's fingers during class, but somehow or other during class we find there's so many people becoming very interested in their fingernails. So how to apply these principles in such situations where the relatives are against our Krishna consciousness? That may be difficult to say because every case is different. And every person is different. So, just like one disciple of mine in Secunderabad, he was very strong that his family, they have to follow all these things. I'm earning the money here, so you should all follow what I say. And they all followed. He had to be patient, but he was very strong and didn't flinch, even though they're protesting, and gradually they all followed. But not everyone has that strong personality to do like that. And he also knows how to deal with his family members. In other family members, if you did like that, they may not gradually change. They may become more inimical. He was strong with them means he didn't behave with them disrespectfully, but he didn't compromise on his principles, nor did he say that it's okay that you can compromise. So the point is there to remain respectful. We find that Prahlad Maharaj, he had probably the most anti-Krishna conscious father in the history of the universe. So Prahlad, he was fearless in telling his father that Vanangato, what is that? Vatangato Yadharima Ashrayeta, that you should go to the forest and give up this Maya and worship Hari. But at the same time, he remained respectful. He addressed his father as Asurya Varya, the best of the demons. So actually that's a respectful address, because Hiranyakashipu, he thought, yeah, I'm an Asura. So it was, you could say, non-violent non-cooperation before Mahatma Gandhi. Sahayogita is the... Oh, that's any help in Tamil. It's cooperation.
Utlaya means non-cooperation.
Okay. Non-aggressive non-cooperation. Another example is Prabhupada's own sister, who was also his god-sister. She was also initiated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhavatarini Dasi. Her name was, although we used to call her Pishima, which means the father's sister. So she had a very difficult life because her husband was not Krishna conscious. She used to cook for him even fish because he used to eat it and he used to like to eat. Very difficult for her to do. But she never took it herself. She cooked separately and offered to the deity and took prasad. So she had a very difficult life, but she's got the blessings of her guru and Prabhupada and went back to Godhead. It is a very difficult age we live in. And in many cases, it can be very difficult to practice Krishna consciousness. often it's difficult because of our domestic circumstances, that the different family members, they're against our Krishna consciousness. And more in the modern age we find people, they're working such long hours that it's difficult for them to find time to do sadhana properly. Or even if the family members are cooperating, then other people, they may be against us. But it's more difficult if the family members are against. But even if the family members are supporting and there's no one against us, but then we have the difficulty of our own minds, which are, generally in Kali Yuga, the mind is crazy. Prayanal payasha sabhya kalavasmin yuge janaha manda sumanda matayo sumanda matayo manda bhagya hi upadrutaha. In this Kali Yuga, people's lives are very short. They're unlucky. We hear so many stories of people, this went wrong, that went wrong. I hear so many people having disturbed situations. And people think that whatever's happening to me is the worst thing possible. Whatever it is, you can be sure there's plenty of people who have got much more problems. So mandamati, people have bad attitudes. We are our own worst enemies. And most of all, the mind is always disturbed. Chanchala mana, very disturbed. So, therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this process of chanting the holy names of Krishna. As far as possible, if we follow this Vedic culture, that will help us to come forward in Krishna consciousness. This is the culture which is to help us become elevated, noble human beings. Of course, if anyone is against our Krishna consciousness, then we may respect them, but we can't follow their instruction. Which means that if we want to be Krishna conscious, but our family members are forcing that you don't chant Hare Krishna, you must eat meat, then we can't follow their instruction. So it can be difficult to follow this culture if for instance the parents are not like Vasudev and Devaki. But nevertheless, these instructions are given by Lord Krishna and we should try to follow them. As I was saying, the substantial guru is one who gives Krishna Bhakti. Jaha hoite Krishna Bhakti, she Guru ho. Guru means who gives Krishna Bhakti. We find that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother and wife were fully Krishna conscious, still he left them. He took sannyas to give Krishna consciousness to the world. So, one of the many lessons from his doing so is that for a higher principle, we can sometimes transgress, or not the word transgress, we can go above the lower principle, transcend the lower principle. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't remain at home with his loving wife and mother, but he went out to give Krishna consciousness to the whole world. And in commenting on this, Srila Prabhupada wrote that mother means Ma, and if she doesn't allow the sun to go out and seek after Krishna, then she is Maya. So parents should encourage their devotees to search after Krishna. That is the duty of parents. Guru na sasyat, swajano na sasyat, janani na sasyat, pita na sasyat, patischa nasyam, devona na sasyat, namochayat ya samapeta mrityam. One should not become guru, father, mother, relative, accept respect from anyone, unless one is able to release that person from birth and death. So, such parents who train their children in such a way that they will become free from birth and death, they are the best parents. Otherwise, prati janme janme, what is that? Pita janma pai, guru krishna nahi male, mile bhaja hahiya. In every birth, we get parents. Cats and dogs, they also have parents. But in every life, we don't get the opportunity to serve guru and Krishna. So if we get that opportunity, we should take it fully. But as Lord Krishna states here, the human form of life is very valuable, so we have received that through the medium of a father and mother, and we should respect them accordingly. Are there any questions about this? You're getting angry because you're not chanting properly. Chanting means to understand oneself as the servant of Krishna. But if you're thinking others should be the servant of me, and if they don't know what I want, then I become angry at them. Do you read Srila Prabhupada's books? Can't read. All right. Then you hear this philosophy. That we are not the body, we are the eternal servants of Krishna. When we understand that we are eternal servants of Krishna, then why should we get angry with others over some minor matter? Or if you are going to get angry, then get angry like Hanuman. Angry like Hanuman means for the right reason. He got angry because of Ravana's offense to Lord Rama. So that anger is glorious. We worship Hanuman's anger. It's good. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya, we chant the Hare Krishna part first. When Srila Prabhupada was asked exactly the same question, he gave the answer, because your purpose is not strong. Our resolve to serve, in other words, our resolve to serve Krishna is not strong. If you take all kinds of intoxication, you don't eat properly, you just take fast food and all this, and you say, why am I getting sick? You smoke, you drink, then you just eat from some street side cafe, and then you get all sick, and you say, why am I getting sick? So if you're not, it's cause and effect. So if the cause of Maya appearing to us very strong is because our resolve in Krishna consciousness is not strong. Krishna is stronger than Maya. We are not stronger than Maya. We have to take shelter of Krishna. Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. You give the translation. Hare Krishna.